As driven, ambitious Christian entrepreneurs, how do we grow our business in a way that honors Christ? From seeking Him first in all of our business dealings, being surrendered to His will, and knowing exactly where and how we can make an impact through our business for the furtherance of His kingdom. Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, and these are just some of the topics my guest and I will be discussing in the hope that we may inspire and empower you to walk strongly in your faith so you can build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Let's dive in. Welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross. Now, my guest today says everyone can be a veteran champion. No action is too small. Joining me on today's show is retired Lieutenant Colonel Kathy Lowry Gallowitz. Now, Kathy, she grew up as a Navy brat and she served nearly 30 years as an Air Force officer. She is the author of Beyond Thank You for Your Service, the Veteran Champion Handbook for Civilians, and she has a master's degree in nursing as well as political science. Now, as an award-winning businesswoman with first-hand experience on hiring veterans, Kathy also coaches employers on how to excel with hiring and retaining veteran talent in ways that can strengthen their workforce. Kathy's Veteran Talent Academy equips employers to find, hire and leverage veterans' skill sets. We'll talk a little more about that in today's show as well. Now, on today's show, Kathy is going to share, there's always an answer. Do it afraid, as well as everything rises and falls on leadership. So welcome to the call, Kathy.
Hello. All the way from down under Australia. Thank you, Anne-Marie, for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to be able to welcome you to the show and to speak about today's topic because it is so very important. And, you know, often I will give you an opportunity to share more about, you know, the pathway that led you down to the business that you are running today. And, of course, as we mentioned, you are retired Lieutenant Colonel Kathy Lowry Gallowitz. So you very much had experience in the retired military officers and in placing them in the workplace. So I'm sure you're passionate about that. Share a little bit more about what was it that drove you to start your business, which, as I mentioned, is called Veteran Talent Academy.
Well, the business is Vanguard Veteran, and what we do to educate employers is through the Veteran Talent Academy, but we're also consultants. I'm in essence a consultant, trainer, and speaker. So you asked, Anne-Marie, why did I start this business?
Yes.
It stems from growing up as a Navy dependent. I grew up moving around the world, moving about every 3 to 4 years, supporting my father's active duty Navy career. And, you know, it really wasn't until about the age of 35, after I'd lived in at least 20 different communities, that, you know, when I actually had the opportunity to establish roots in Lancaster, Ohio, that was the place my husband and I chose to give our children roots and to start a business. I noticed that my life had been pretty different from the people in a small Midwestern town in the United States. And so I started to reflect on maybe why there were some of those differences. The three experiences was I hadn't been to really a funeral of anybody until the age of 40, other than family members, like a grandmother, grandfather. I really didn't know how America worked because I had been so mobile. I didn't know what city council was. I didn't know what a county commissioner was. So I got involved and found out. And, you know, I really didn't have very many close friends. You know, I went through a pretty nasty divorce when I was living in Lancaster, and this one gal came alongside me who I call my first veteran champion in my book. But I realized that, you know, when you move so much, you know, you don't really have your support network around you. You know, there may be people you can call, but, you know, when you're struggling or times are dark, you know, it's so much better when you have people that you can touch, hold, hug, and visit, you know, to kind of help you through tough times. So that was sort of one of my first indicators. But then the crowning achievement of my military career as a public affairs officer was establishing a never been done before community outreach program for the Ohio National Guard. In response to 9/11, we educated and engaged civilians in support of troops and their families. Because, like no time in our nation's history, the reserve component, the Guard and the Reserve, were deploying differently. I mean, before that, we were a strategic reserve, we were becoming an operational force. And so the needs of our members really went up, you know. 20% of our members were full-time military. That meant the 80% that were part-time military either had a full-time civilian job to pay their bills, or they were college students. And so that had a lot of implications. And so we really needed to invest in educating employers, educators, but then we also talked to healthcare providers, leaders of diverse communities, and lawyers, as well as clergy. So had a lot of initiatives in all those different areas. So when I retired in 2016, I was like, there's just so much more work that needs to yet be done. And frankly, no one really does this work with this intention. I think that's a huge gap in our society. We should have a resource, a purposeful program to educate civilians so that they understand what they can do, what small action they can do. Or if you have a large circle of influence and a bigger title, if you will, there you can move mountains to support those who do so much for us. And so it's just this work, Anne Marie, truly is my life's calling.
Yes. I love the way how the Lord places you in certain circumstances and, you know, your life journey, and then it leads, doesn't it, to something that, I mean, the way throughout, I'm sure that you've really contributed and felt fulfilled and meaning in our work and in your work. But now you can just, as you say, pay back and really see that need, but with the gifts and talents and strengths and experience that you've gained along the way, you're able to really sow into that. I love that. And, you know, one of the things that you shared, and I think it's so important of today's conversation, but also any other conversation, often people are more than happy to help out, but sometimes they don't know how, and they don't want to ask because it may seem a little bit embarrassing to say, well, I don't really know. And, now you're going to be able to share, of course, how we can contribute. So ask the question, obviously, because there's always needs, and you never know, you may have an answer or connect it to someone who's got answers and resources and so forth that really can give back to that community. So you want to talk about there's always an answer. What do you mean by that?
Oh, okay. So as a entrepreneur, as, you know, a parent, as a Christian, you know, sometimes it's easy to feel defeated. You know, sometimes it's easy to get that soccer punch to the gut when you just don't know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. And my life experience, and because of my faith in God, I know that there's always an answer. You just have to keep looking, keep seeking, keep praying, and those answers come. And if you don't have the answer, I have found really from working with civilian veteran champions that if you don't have the answer, they will. Yes. And so if you can listen with intention and persevere and take care of yourself well enough spiritually, physically, mentally, in all those realms, so that you can hear the answers, you know, they will come. they will come.
Yeah, I love that you've shared that. It's so important, especially now with so much going on in the world. You know, and sometimes there's a waiting time, isn't it? A waiting period. I'll often joke with colleagues and clients that you be mindful what you pray for, because if patience is something that you have prayed for, there's going to be a lot of waiting in your future to develop that patience muscle. But when we do go to prayer and we do ask questions and perhaps supportive of others, there can be a bit of that waiting time. What insights can you share? Because it's important. What did you do during that time? Because it is important to look, as you said, to look after ourselves as well. And there may be some people that are not necessarily doing that because of impatience. What insights can you share around that? If there is something that you've been asking for, seeking advice, seeking answers, but it's forthcoming, what would we do?
Well, the most important thing, I think, is just to be prepared, to go out and seek knowledge, seek skills, spend time and treasure on improving your skill set and, discerning your path. And, you know, leadership development, self-development, personal development is just a lifelong journey. I mean, you know, we never arrive, right? There's no finish line and it's not automatic. And so if you're frustrated in your waiting time, you know, go learn something and, you know, create something, just keep slowly moving forward. And I heard it described well yesterday on a webinar, and that is, you know, just keep trying things. And if A doesn't work, try B. Yes. And then that's what was Joyce Meyer. It was one of her teachings. And she says, you know, and then when you finally find your niche, you know, where God wants you, not that it will be stress-free and easy, but it will. There will be an alignment with your soul, alignment with your spirit. If you're in the right space. So, I think the best way you can use your waiting time, Anne Marie, is to prepare yourself, and oh, by the way, to pray.
Yeah, so important. And I love the way that you've said about taking action, because if I look back in my own life, and I'm sure you've got lots of examples for your own life as well, it's in that action taking that we do learning. And like, well, that's a way that I know that I don't need to do that again, you know. Yeah. But I love that this segues beautifully into doing it afraid. How many of us wait till we have the absolute confidence? But as you said, we really are never absolutely confident on something. Do it afraid, you say. What insights can you share to help us be courageous to be able to do that? Do something afraid.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, there's so many differences between military and civilian culture. And that's one of the important things people need to understand as civilian veteran champions, whether you're hiring or retaining veterans or you're starting a military ministry inside your faith community. Because in our military mindset, you know, we often are very detail oriented. We need to be, and that's a good trait. We often, you know, have a zero fail mentality for our mission completion. And, you know, we can kind of be, you know, overly OCD, for lack of a better term. You know, we just really want to have all the answers, all the information. But I love how the late General Colin Powell says, you know, get as much information as you can and then move forward. I mean, the truth is, we'll never have all the information. No one has all the answers, right? And, you know, preparing yourself before you have completeness is reasonable. How about that? It's reasonable. And if you're a Christian, you know, lean on God and have faith in God that He will also help you see the answers. It's just, you know, being an entrepreneur is risky. You know, it's financially risky. There's a lot of risks in it. You don't know if your, you know, talking points are right. You don't know if you're messaging your community necessarily 100% correctly. There's a lot of unknowns. And, you know, you just have to step out in faith, take that first step, then keep taking steps, correct your your direction, you know, again, listen and learn. I like how John Maxwell says, fail forward, you know, that failure is all part of it, depending on how you define failure. And I define failure as learning and growing and discovering and persevering, because, you know, that's what being an entrepreneur is all about, redirecting, pivoting, et cetera.
Yeah. I love how you said, you know, in the military, tends to be a little bit more OCD in having things prepared. And, you know, I had to chuckle when I heard you say that, because it is true, isn't it? But, you know, even as an entrepreneur, I mean, there are people who have gone before, people who know that there are some certain things that you want to have in place.
Sure.
Because there's no way you're going to jump out of an airplane if you haven't checked your parachute. You know, there's
Right on. Well put. Yeah.
And then there are the finite details which you think, well, those things can wash themselves out or come out in the wash, if you will. I don't know if you have that saying in US. There are some things that will just continue to evolve and so forth. But isn't it interesting? And I want to talk a little bit about the term failure. And I so agree. There are, I call them my accidental accidents or successes, I should say. My accidental successes came on the back of failures. And it would never have happened had I not taken action. Mm. And some of those accidental successes are now very much core teachings in my programs, because I say to people, through doing that, now you can implement that same strategy and get a better result far quicker than what I did. I had to learn through all the trial and error.
Yeah.
But isn't it fascinating that when we change that mindset from, well, that's a failure, I'm no good at this entrepreneurship stuff, by looking, you know what, I've just tried 10 different things. Five of those were, you know, lessons that, hey, don't do it that way. But isn't it interesting that when we change our mindset, the learnings we can take shape our character, give us ways, and these are not good strategies. And so often we can keep ourselves stuck, can't we, because we're too scared to even try.
And what occurred to me is, as you're trying and learning and moving and progressing, that in and of itself is a reward. That in and of itself builds confidence, yes. Okay, if you choose to look at it like that. And that's a choice, right? When I get frustrated, I have a talk with myself and I say, okay, self, how am I going to look at this? You know, how am I going to process my frustration so that I can stay motivated? And, you know, we as entrepreneurs really have to motivate ourselves. And I would add that, you know, being in the Word, being in fellowship with other believers, just really keeps you grounded. My days are so much better when I'm in the Word and listening to Joyce Meyer and Rick Warren and all those brilliant people. My days go better.
Yes, so true. You know, what's interesting too, when we read some of the Bible stories, there are things that the Lord got people to do that it's kind of like, you want me to do what? And in business, in entrepreneurship, there is something to be said about agility, about being able to change pathways, if you will, or the way in which you're going. Talk a little bit about that, because that can be sometimes doing it afraid too, I think, is being able to make a shift halfway through. Because for some people that can be difficult, can't it? Trusting the Lord, do this rather than what, you know, standard ways of doing something. And we're told as Christians, you know, this world that we're living in, we're not citizens of this world. Some of the things that the Lord has us do, it's like, what, really? That's so different from the way the world does things. Can you share a little bit about that? Because this can be a huge lesson for people.
So the most relevant examples of being agile that come to my mind, we moved to a different state 3 years ago after being in one place for 25 years and, you know, feeling very connected and very safe. And, you know, but I'm used to moving, yet I'm not used to moving after being somewhere for 25 years, right? So in essence, the business was a start over. In a new community. Of course, I brought, you know, my framework and my concepts and my desires, but, you know, a lot of your net worth is your net work, right? You've heard that saying before. So had to be very agile and adapt new strategies to get connected to a very large community. I live in Phoenix. And so that required, you know, a different way of thinking. And certainly, you know, transition as well. Now, the other piece was COVID, right? So many businesses had to pivot during COVID. And I would not say that, you know, I am an A-plus technology person. My strengths are creativity, coalition building, communication. I would not say I'm a linear thinker who has a lot of technology ability. But throughout COVID, you know, I had the opportunity to go from being centered in Ohio to having more of a national presence because I was forced to be more virtual and more adept at working technology. And so I was really proud of that. And since then, myself and two co-founders, Air Force veteran and a Gold Star mom, have started Women Who Lead. It is a monthly free seminar for anybody who wants to come. It's about promoting leadership capacity and fostering mutual support between women veterans and non-veteran women. It is on the second Wednesday of every month at 7:30 Arizona time, AM, 7:30 AM Arizona time. And so we have a national presence through that group. And so, you know, since COVID, I've offered speeches virtually and have done quite a bit of that. And so I'm available as a speaker if anybody would like to hire me to talk about veteran champions, about veteran hiring, about military ministry or leadership. Yeah. So those are some of my relevant pivots.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? And I bet if had you not had the circumstances that required you to start speaking virtually, you may never have gone down that track till a bit later. You felt it a little bit more comfortable. I've had conversations with people, and I even heard, I can't remember where I read this, was saying that the amount of change, the rapidness, if that's the word, right word, change in a small amount of time that it would normally have taken anywhere up to 6 years. People had to adapt and change. And similarly, I had clients that went from a in-person only business to online. You know, they had to do it quickly to adapt really quickly. So
absolutely. It's stressful. But again, you know, God prepares us for these things.
Yes,
and and if you just believe that and have faith, it's going to be all right.
Yeah. Doors will open, you know, the path will be made straight, as he said.
It's like, yes, ma'am.
Lord, need some path straightening, please, Lord.
Yes, ma'am.
Love that. We talked a little bit, you hinted a little bit about leadership and so forth. And one of the things that you say, and I'd love you to share some insights in here, this is everything rises and falls on leadership.
Well, for all you John Maxwell team members out there, you know where I got that from, right? John Maxwell is just such a wonderful mentor. But it's so true. You know, if you have an okay leader, you have an okay organization. If you have a not so good leader, your organization's probably hurting. But man, if you have a good leader, you flourish under him or her. And I have experienced all of the above, you know, and I think in my lifetime, I've had like 17 different jobs in 6 different industries with all the moving. I was a nurse for half of my career and a public affairs officer. I also worked in insurance. I was the CEO of a chamber of commerce and, you know, and so I've worked under a lot of leaders, and I've had a lot of my own leadership experiences because let's talk about this briefly. You know, leadership is always influence. And, you know, again, a distinction of military culture is that we learn leadership, but oftentimes, you know, we work in a very hierarchical, structured, rank-heavy organization. And so I would suggest to you that might make leadership a little bit easier. Don't tell anybody I said that. But, you know, you work with a very disciplined force who wants to produce and is highly motivated and gets reward. And, you know, there's a lot of reward in in meeting mission and serving the American public. And so, you know, and when you don't have the structure and the discipline and maybe the, you know, maybe the high levels of motivation, you know, leadership takes on a little bit different format. And so when you come out into the civilian world, you know, influence and relationship building is important in the military, but it's also, you know, of course, important in civilian life. So I think what I'm trying to say is that leadership takes on a little bit of a different dimension in the civilian world because you don't have that reliance on rank, because rank does sort of motivate or propel action oftentimes. So, you know, we military people are very influential. We can and do adapt very well, but it can be a transition for some of us,
Now, I would imagine too, one of the areas when the distinction between leadership and rank in the military versus in the civilian space. I mean, within, say, the civilian space, you might be talking and brainstorming within a team environment. The leader may say something, but as a team member, you may say, look, that's a really great idea, but what if we do it that way? I mean, can you imagine in the military, go and do A, B, and C? Well, I don't really know. I mean, you just don't have that ability to do that unless you do. Talk a little bit about that, because sometimes, you know, as you said, everything falls and rises in leadership, but it's also that the communication. Does that make sense in kind of what I'm talking about? How can we make sure that the team is working well together?
I don't want to pigeonhole or oversimplify communication or leadership styles in the military because there are all kinds of approaches, but bottom line is the senior ranking officer has the final say.
Yeah.
Okay. However, good leaders will ask the troops input. The best leaders, whether you're in uniform or not, are surrounding themselves with people smarter than they are, and particularly in that subject matter expertise, so that the best information comes to the discussion, and then the best leaders will look at all considerations, look at as much detail as possible. And then, you know, a lot of times the best leaders use their intuition and instinct to find the path forward. So yes, the input is definitely sought in the military. Teamwork is really strong in the military because our mindset, you know, there's no I in team. We don't use the pronoun I, we talk we all the time. And if you do use I, or you are looking for maybe, or you are identified out of a group, you know, it's looked down upon. The culture is, it's always about the team. It's never about me. And so the teamwork is super strong in the military. Input is sought. And, you know, we want to bring all these skills and attributes to the civilian workforce and make those civilian teams stronger in the civilian workforce.
There's so much to be learned from that, because you hear of, you know, leaders who are not exuding, as you said, the character and creating the environment that allows for that contribution and from the team. And, you know, when you create an environment such as that, the best ideas can come out, you know, from those contributions, and people don't feel that their contribution is naysayed or, you know.
Well, not only the ideas, but the facts, right? If a person feels empowered to contribute and has a history of feeling heard, then you just have sounder information. You have, not only can you innovate more, but you have a better foundation from which to make decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I promised to give you an opportunity to share more about your business. I think you've already done given some insight into, you know, the environment in a civilian workplace can, as you said, leverage the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the experience from military who are coming out of military and into civilian life. And I would imagine one of the things that you do is to help those organizations. How best can you leverage that? Share a little bit more about your work in case people are interested and want to reach out to you, Kathy.
Great. So I'm a consultant, trainer, and speaker. As a consultant, I'm your veteran hiring concierge. So I help employers who value veteran talent build a more productive workforce by hiring veterans and leveraging their skill sets. I connect you with sources of veteran talent and help you build processes inside your company to leverage their skill sets. That could be, do you know how to interview, onboard, build a veteran employee resource group? Do you know how to be involved in your community so you're distinguishing the company as veteran friendly? We are happy to announce Veteran Talent Academy, April 27th, September 27th. In April, it's basic training. Well, you will learn veteran hiring fundamentals. In September, we'll delve into some more best practices for employers who truly want to do a great job hiring veterans. I'm also the military ministry builder. So I equip volunteers, doesn't have to be a pastor, a nurse, a counselor, or maybe even a veteran. A non-veteran can lead these military ministries inside congregations where you foster practical support, connection, sense of belonging, and I contend help curb veteran suicide just by being a caring layman who is there. Because, you know, we as military people, if not we as human beings, tend to socially isolate when we're struggling. And that's very prevalent amongst the veteran community because we're very stoic. You know, when we're serving, we have a get or done attitude. You buck up and you get the job done, really, no matter what, especially, you know, if you're in combat. So asking for help is not a strength of military connected people generally, but certainly of combat veterans. So military ministries are a very special way to give back to those who have done so much for us in sacrifice for our freedoms. I offer a monthly coaching call called Military Ministries Matter at first Sunday of every month. Please look on Eventbrite or Google to join us, and I will equip you, come alongside you monthly to help you build that ministry. And what rewarding work is that? I tell you, since we've been in Arizona for 3 years, some of my very best friends now are from this group. We call it Vet Connect Fountain Hills. Mm-hmm. Just highly rewarding. And then I love to do leadership training, speak on leadership, but we'd love to welcome veteran women, women who are currently serving, and other emerging or current women leaders to join us for Women Who Lead. We're just looking to build a robust, large group of women internationally who want to become civilian veteran champions, understand a little bit about military culture, understand a little bit about, you know, some of the veteran community resources, and actually want to take action supporting women veterans through Women Who Lead. Last but not least, Anne-Marie, if I may give a shout out to my book, Beyond Thank You for Your Service, the Veteran Champion Handbook for Civilians. It is chock full of practical strategies, not just theory, not just ideas, but practical actions that nearly 20 civilian veteran champions have taken, mostly Ohioans, and the ways that they have improved the quality of life of our veterans, and by so doing, their quality of life, because it's all about being mutually beneficial. But they've also improved workforce and community, because that's what civilian veteran champions do.
So important. Thank you for sharing. And website?
Website is vanguardveteran.com, singular, not plural, vanguardveteran.com. My email is Kathy with a K and a Y at vanguardveteran.com. No periods in there.
As I heard you sharing that, it reminded me of my days when I was in the career industry. One of the areas that I specialized in was working with the Australian military who were coming out of military, going into civilian, helping them to demilitarize, if you will, their resumes, their personal marketing documents.
Thank you.
When you saw what they did and the learnings, the training that they participated in, was mind-boggling,
Thank you.
Being able to put that into words, that and actionable, leverageable skills and talents.
Yes.
Found that a lot of the men and women were snapped up really quickly into, you know, organizations.
Well, thank you, Anne-Marie, for being a civilian veteran champion through those actions. That's wonderful. And you probably don't know, but in the United States, veteran unemployment is at record lows. In 2023, I don't know, there was a 7 to 9 month consistent period where unemployment for veterans was below 3%. I mean, that is a good news story. It came down from 11 or 12% 10 years ago, at 21% for military spouses, which is another story. But so veteran unemployment, we're doing well because businesses understand the value of veteran talent. Where we're not doing so well is underemployment. Underemployment figures range from 30% to upwards of 43%. So there's a lot more that needs to be done. Not only we need to educate, you know, smaller and medium-sized businesses about how to hire veterans, but also all companies of all sizes, how to fully leverage the skill sets that military service strengthens and reap that return on investment, if you will. You know, our country pays all this money for all that training you talked about, for all that character building. And so we really, you know, it's in our best interest to figure out how to boost our economy, strengthen our economy, and make our civilian workforce team strong.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Kathy, one of the things that I do at the end of all of our interviews is just finish with a word of prayer. May I do that?
Oh, thank you. Yes.
You're welcome. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to speak with Kathy today and to learn more about her business, the passion for her work, and just so how important it is that even as civilians that we can really support the military who are transitioning to civilian life and all of the things that Kathy shared today. Father, we just ask for your continued blessing on her business, for the organization she works for, Lord, for the partnerships and the alliances that she is building. Father, we just ask for your continued blessing. May it continue to bring you glory and honor, of course. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
So much. I mean, you're talking about technology, and the technology, I think, has just completely, when we think of the new tech that we have at our fingertips, that you and I can speak from opposite ends of the world via video.
Yes, it's so fun.
I started back in 08. It was only audio, and the technology back then was not as good as it is today. So,
well, you're inspiration to me, Anne-Marie. I'd like to get to where you are one of these days.
Oh, look, do it afraid. We did it. You know, you said we had no idea what we were doing. And here's something that I think is so important for all of us. Tap into why. What is your passion? And sometimes I think our stand for comes between what we're passionate about and what absolutely peeves us off, or if there is a need, and let that drive you forward. And as you say, take those steps. We had no idea what we were doing. We did it anyway in the career industry, but that was the doom and gloom from the, you know, the financial crisis, the global financial crisis. We knew things were tough, but we knew that there was always a way. There's always an answer, going back to your first point. And we knew people needed to change their approach to job search, but we knew that there were opportunities there, even if it was the opportunity was starting your own business. So we thought we need to be the voice of hope and inspiration and bring those new ideas. Nice. So, and I'm sharing that because, you know, some people are holding themselves like, oh, I need to do all of the tech and all of that. No, you don't. You need to have a passion, a skill set, and information, insights you can share. Pick up the microphone and start sharing.
And just take the next step.
Just take the next step. Everything that you shared today, Kathy. So it's been an absolute delight speaking with you today. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate you.
Hey, it's Anne-Marie. Before I go, are you a coach or a consultant who feels like the world's best kept secret? Your experience is vast, yet secretly you're frustrated because despite all of your hard work, you're just not getting the visibility, the recognition, or new clients you'd hope for, and you don't know why? I've created a free resource that'll help you build visibility, generate leads, and enroll dream clients with ease because you're seen as a trusted authority. Even in a crowded marketplace, and you've positioned yourself as the choice versus just a choice for your dream client. To get started, go to annemariecross.com/gift. That's annemariecross.com/gift.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.